you very much for allowing me to join you this morning, and thank you very much for the work, financial support that you give to allow us to continue our work at Bible Society. Now, I want you to listen. Now, I gave you permission earlier to listen, but now you have to listen. And to get you to listen, I want to make sure everyone understands where my accent is from. Now, I'm originally from Kentucky, but I've now been in England for 19 years, so I do have a mesh of an accent, and it sometimes changes when I get excited. And one of the things I do get excited about is the work of the Bible Society, because we are on a mission, and that mission is for every man, woman, and child to engage with the Bible. So why do we do that? I'm just going to give a knock. If I do that way, then I can give my nod and not see the lamp. So there we go. So the reason we do it is because we know that when people engage the Bible, their lives change for good. Not just change, but change for good. And we continually see God's love pouring out in the countless projects that we are committed to. This global commitment we have is here at home and across the world. Like I was saying earlier with the young people, we translate the Bible, we print the Bible, we distribute the Bible, but we also help people to relate and make sense of the Bible, as well as advocating for its place in society. These lovely ladies here are from the Black Yi tribe that I mentioned in China. 14 years and they finally have it. You can see that joy that they have on their face. Finally have God's word in their own language. The French philosopher Voltaire once said, 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. Well, I'm happy to report that 100 years after his death, the French Bible Society set up their headquarters in Voltaire's old home. See, God does have a really good sense of humor. But the Bible is not a museum piece. It is a living, active book containing several books that can help shape our lives. But we can't just let it sit on a shelf like something from a museum. We must open it, engage with it. The Bible, banned, burned, beloved, more widely read, more frequently attacked than any other book in history. Generations of intellectuals have attempted to discredit it. Dictators of every age have outlawed it and executed those who read it. Yet soldiers will carry it into battle, believing it is more powerful than their weapons. Fragments of it have been smuggled into solitary prisons, transforming ruthless killers into gentle saints. So often we see a good movie or we read a good book and we share it with our colleagues, our friends, and our family. But how much of the Bible are we actually sharing with others? You see the quote here from Eugene Peterson. When we submit our lives to what we read in scriptures, we find that we are not being led to see God in our stories, but our stories in God's. God is the larger context and plot in which you find, in which our stories find themselves. When we were sharing earlier, it was really interesting. When she shared with me, she said, what's important to me now? It's what's happening in our lives now. I was speaking to someone from the earlier service, and she said, oh yes, when I read that bit, it didn't really pertain to me. And I said, oh, I bet when you go back to it now, you might find something else that will pertain to you. See, different life events and different things will shape our journeys. And we're all on different journeys. But it's never too late to start your journey or encourage others with their own journey. And part of our journey is highlighted in our reading from Luke today. Jesus has developed an energetic and enthusiastic following. He comes to his hometown. He's invited to teach in a local synagogue. I can just imagine that atmosphere. People are coming in. Jesus is here. He's done so many great things. He reverently rolls up the scroll. He sits down to begin his teaching. Everyone's eye is on him. They're on the edge of their seats. What's Jesus going to say to us today? And what does he say? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's it. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And see, that's all Jesus. Jesus needed to say. One sentence, he tells them what the year of the Lord's favor really looks like. Like a person deeply in love with God and the world, who loves enough to care that the destitutes are given good news of healing, that brokenhearted people are comforted, that people in bondage are set free. Who knows what they actually expected or they wanted to hear? Maybe they thought that they would see a miracle that day. Maybe they thought he would tell them about the Roman occupation being overthrown. But Jesus' message was not what they expected. It was not what they wanted. Later on, a few verses later, and Luke says, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and put him out of the city. It is entirely too easy for us to hear this story and think, oh, that's what happened then. Interesting. Jesus put a different twist on it. Okay, that's how they reacted. But when we see Jesus' description of the kingdom of God as having everything to do with 2,000 years ago and nothing to do with us, we're missing it. See, Jesus' description doesn't work for us any better than it did for those people in the synagogue long ago. Jesus' ideas are not what we might want or expect him to say. So often we too dismiss Jesus. We might not rise up and have wrath. We might just think we know better. But we do this at our own peril. Maybe it's time we paid attention to Jesus and what it says in the Bible. Jesus said the kingdom of God will come when we tell the good news of salvation. When we tell people who are hanging on by a thread that God loves and wants them. When we tell people that God wants them to be whole, to have life, and to have life abundantly. When we sit with those who are suffering and stay with them as they seek God in their pain. Jesus said the kingdom of God will come when we set the captives free. When we dare to befriend those who are bound and help them take off their chains of addiction or self-hatred or isolation. When we show those who are oppressed that there is a way out and we will be with them and walk with them through that pain. When we care enough to listen. When we hear the stories and we share stories of hope with them and hold hope out for them. Jesus said the kingdom of God will come when we proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. When we pray with people for healing and we expect that God will heal. When we believe God wants to do a new thing in people's lives, giving a vision where it is lost, giving insight where there is denial, giving clarity where there is confusion. See, Luke's gospel is filled with Jesus' compassion for the underprivileged, the marginalized, the people on the fringes. Certainly, this is good news. Certainly, this is a scripture that God calls us Christians to fulfill in the needy world around us, to proclaim the good news of salvation, to bind up the wounds of those around us, to listen, to hear, to liberate. We can do it. For just as with Jesus, the Spirit of God is upon each and every one of us. See, Bible Society is working hard to take on this challenge with your help. And we are working in places people never imagined. It is so exciting to see the growth of the church in China. And for some of us, it's hard to even understand or believe that growth. When 1 million Chinese are coming to faith each year in China. This astonishing growth is outstripping the availability of Bibles and resources in China. My colleague has recently returned from China, and she told this lovely story that these people have walked miles and miles to receive this Bible. For many, it is the very first Bible that they will ever have in their hands. And as you can see, some of them are a little bit older than you. For some reason, the people thought we were running out of Bibles. So my colleague was standing very close to a table like this. They were handing out the Bibles, but all of a sudden, they thought there weren't going to be any. So they all rushed to the front to get a Bible. My colleague was pushed up against the table. She said she was bruised for Bibles. When she got back to her hotel room that night, she was covered in bruises. The only thing I can even think of that I've seen similar is on TV when you see the Black Friday sales for a big screen TV. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather have that Bible in my hand than a big screen TV. But if you think about it, in our society today, we have Bibles. We have them in our pews, we have them in our homes. But how many of us spend more time with our big screen TV than we do with our Bible? People are hungry for God's word, and we have access, readily available access, and we don't take advantage of that. It's so exciting to see this growth in China, but with the growth there also comes problems. We have a shortage of pastors. There's only one pastor for every 44 churches. Now I know Susie has a tough job, but if she had another 43 churches to look after, it would be even tougher. We had communion in the service before. Some churches only have that once a year because there's not enough pastors to go around. But we're doing everything we can. We have a wonderful opportunity in China. And while we have that opportunity, we're going to take advantage of it. We're also seeing exciting things happening, and we're able to equip people in some of the toughest, hardest places. For example, the Middle East. Places where a Bible might otherwise never be seen. The war in Syria has caused death and displacement on an unimaginable scale. In the midst of the crisis, people of all faiths are looking to the Bible for hope. Our focus is to strengthen the church, but we've also discovered an unprecedented demand for the Bible. Our teams in Jordan and Lebanon are bringing the Bible to life in a very special way. The refugees fleeing the war in the Middle East, alongside food and other essentials, we're offering Bible-based trauma healing to refugees, helping people of all ages to talk through their experiences with trained facilitators. Through this program, thousands of refugees are experiencing the Bible in a new way. One of the stories that really touched me, it wasn't this woman here, but it was another woman that told one of my colleagues that when they were in the area with the bombing and stuff, she told her kids, you know, at the beginning, oh, it's just fireworks, but then their neighbor's house was completely destroyed and they realized they were gonna have to flee because they didn't know how much longer their home would be there. And they got to Jordan, they met with our teams, they received the food and other essentials, and they also had the Bible-based trauma healing. And after a few of the sessions, she said her kids started to play nicely together. And then a bit later, a few more sessions, kids were sleeping. Now, I know a number of you took your kids down there, but, and I know as a parent, a child that sleeps is a mom that's happy. But just imagine what those children had been through. They weren't sleeping, but by seeing the hope that was given in the Bible, they were finally able to rest and to have peace. What a wonderful gift that we were able to give them. Another colleague has recently returned from visiting some of the refugee camps, and she was telling me how she spoke to this refugee, and he said that they were persecuted, they were harassed. He said that the neighbors, because they were Christian, the neighbors changed their garden lights to red to scare them. They poisoned their fruits and vegetables. They injected sleeping gas in their air conditioning. They received small notes of threats. They broke into the house to try to attack them, and they hid in their bathroom for over 5 hours, praying, God, why don't you help us? They finally decided to leave the country, and they arrived at the refugee camp, where they received food essentials and a Bible if they weren't. And they were reading the Bible, and they said that's where they found the answer. The answer to their prayers was in the Gospel of John 1:9-14. He gave them the right to be the children of God. Setting captives free. Now, I would never want anyone to go through what those refugees went through. What these people had to endure is unbelievable. But they said, through all the danger, they would never give up their faith. Now, I can get in my car and go to the shop. I might have Never have I had one of my neighbours inject sleeping gas in my air conditioning because I'm a Christian. We have so many blessings, and we are so lucky to be able to come here and worship this morning. So many people across the world don't have that privilege. Let's not take that privilege for granted. I had a real privilege last year. I was able to travel to Eswatini. Some of you might know it as Swaziland. It was my first visit to see some of our projects in action, so it was really, really exciting for me. It was a very emotional trip going and actually speaking to the people who receive what we do. And this little girl really, really touched me. School we visited is an orphanage. All the children are orphans there because their parents have died from HIV or AIDS. And we provide the school with seeds and chickens and other resources because we don't just give people a Bible, we also want to help them be fruitful in other ways. And because of my light skin, they wanted to touch my skin because I have hair on my arms, they wanted to touch my arms and get to know us. And they sang lovely, beautiful songs to us. And then this girl stood up in front of everyone and she said, "You are more than friends to us, you mean the world to us." And she wasn't just talking about me and my colleagues, she's talking about all of you. Because of your support, we were able to provide them with the Bibles and the seeds and the resources that make a real difference in their life. You see on this next picture these children, many people might look at these children and think, gosh, they don't really have that much. But when I was there, these children really blessed me. They have so much. And they're reading and engaging God's word. They would come up to me and recite full scripture verses. And it wasn't just an exercise, it was something that they lived and believed in their lives, and they were acting out what they read in their daily lives. It made a real difference. I also had the privilege of visiting the deaf school. At the deaf school, we used these videos to help teach the children the sign language, as well as the Bible stories. Unfortunately, the teachers at the school, there's only a very small percentage of them that actually know sign language, which is, for me, was really, really surprising. I was asked to get up in front of the students and share to the students, which I found a bit daunting, but I just simply went up there and I said to the students, I remember from a small child a song that said, "Jesus loves you." The same message I was telling the young people earlier today, you know, "Jesus loves you," and they all clapped, which was just a lovely sight to see and very, very touching. They were so thankful because the small girl there sharing her Bible with me and showing me, she carried it around with her everywhere. You might think it a bit strange they have hats and gloves on, but it was winter when I went, so which meant it was about, I think it was 25 degrees, they loved their hats and their gloves. They were so excited. Anything that we gave them, every single one of the children said thank you. They were so appreciative. So they had very little, but they know that Jesus loves them, and they know the importance of God's word. See, at Bible Society, we want everyone to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim releases to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, the Bible does change lives for good, and God blesses us abundantly. So I challenge everyone here to pick up your Bible and read it. I know you have them because you raised your hand earlier in service, I remember. But if you don't have a Bible, ask us. We want to help. We want everyone to be equipped for every good work. God would never send us on a journey without equipping us for that journey. So where is your place in history, in his story? Where is your place? What path are you on, and where is it leading you? I pray that your minds may be opened to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you. How rich are the wonderful blessings that he promises his people. I do have a table with resources, so after the service, if something I've said makes you think, yeah, I do want to learn a bit more, what can I